In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And as always, it's great to be with you. And we'd like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. We turn to this great Mother of God. She's our life, our sweetness, and our hope. In this month of May, dedicated to her. And let's say the prayer that she loves most. And that prayer is the Hail Mary, also known as the Angelic Salutation. Let's pray. Hail Mary. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit of God. We're getting to know better and better as we go through the Acts of the Apostles. The Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. The Catechism of the Catholic Church calls the Holy Spirit the gift of gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the sanctifier. On Pentecost, the sequence we pray to the Holy Spirit, we call the Holy Spirit the sweet guest of the soul. Also, the Holy Spirit working in our lives, the Holy Spirit is known as the counselor. He gives us good advice. He's also known as a consoler. In the midst of our desolation, he's there to help us. Holy Spirit is also known as our intimate deep friend. We're really never alone. And finally, the Holy Spirit is our interior master. St. Paul points out that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. Means daddy or father. Let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light, a lot of peace, and a lot of joy, as we say. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Damien Osbuster, pray for us. Saint John of Avila, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our perseverance family, the family that prays together stays together. So we always start off our prayer by praying together as a family. And my friends, I will be praying for you in my masses today. In my masses today. And I'll place you on the altar. And of course, the holy sacrifice of the Mass is by far the greatest of all prayers. By far the greatest of all prayers is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer. So I'd like to offer these specific intentions for all of you. First of all, in this Easter season in which we're reading and meditating the Acts of the Apostles, that all of us would be more and more open to the Holy Spirit. The book, the Acts of the Apostles, the human author is Saint Luke, is sometimes known as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for each other in the family that we'd be more and more open to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Be more and more docile to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Say that prayer, come Holy Spirit, come, to the heart of Mary. My second intention, I'd like to pray for your families, for your children. Some of you have young adult children who possibly have walked away from the church. I'd like to pray that the Holy Spirit would inspire them to convert, to trust in God's mercy, and to come back. To come back to God and to come back to the practice of the faith and to receive the sacraments. Because, my friends, as you know, the most efficacious means by which we can be sanctified is by living a fervent sacramental life. Face it, the Catholic Church is a Catholic Church which is a sacramental church. These are the channels of grace by which we're sanctified. This is the way Christ set up his church, which we call his mystical body. The church is the mystical body of Christ, and the sacraments, the life flowing grace, flows through the sacramental system. My last intention will be I'd like to pray for world peace, as well as I'd like to pray for the overturning of the Roe versus Wade decision. That in our country, founded upon noble moral principles, in which our founding fathers said that every human person is endowed with inalienable rights. And those rights are the rights of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. To pray that we'll be able to overturn the nefarious and diabolical decision that says that we can kill unborn children. So I'd like to invite all of you to pray for that intention, because we really want to do all we possibly can to promote life. Life, my friends. And life begins, my friends, the very beginning of life begins with conception. So let's do all we can, my friends, to promote life. Promote life. We are people of life. So, my friends, we're in a family, and part of our family, the most important part of our family, is heaven. We like to honor Mary. Sunday was Mother's Day, but also we cannot forget that Mary is the Mother of God, the Mother Church, and she's our mother. So I'm trying to give you just a brief thought on Mary during this month of May. What I'd like to suggest today is, yesterday I suggested that you read the Glories of Mary. The Glories of Mary, written by St. Alphonsus Maria Liguori. It's a great book. If you read that book, you're going to fall in love with Mary if you haven't already. The Glories of Mary, St. Alphonsus Maria Liguori. Today I'd like to just invite all of you to appreciate Marian devotion. And one of Marian devotions, which is characteristic of the month of May, would be that of May processions, which we carry the statue of Mary, and May crowning, in which children come up and they crown Mary with a crown of flowers, of roses. And this Friday, my friends, is May 13th. 40 years ago, this Friday, May 13th, commemorates the day in which John Paul II, he traveled to Fatima, Portugal. He knelt down in front of the statue of Our Lady Fatima. He touched the statue with his rosary. And he got up and he placed something in the crown of Mary. What he placed in the crown of Mary was actually a bullet. The bullet that went into him, where he was shot the year before, May 13th, 1981. In the book, The Witness of Hope, that I mentioned in one of my other talks by George Weigel, he said that the power of evil was very great, but Mary's intercession, John Paul II attributes Mary moving the bullet, a fraction, so he did not die. So, promote Mary and May processions and crowning of Mary. The crowning of Mary. The crowning of Mary. So that's our brief Marian thought for the day. My friends, we're moving in the Acts of the Apostles into chapter 11, where we see the Word of God is spreading. The Christian faith is spreading and growing by leaps and bounds. However, today we celebrate two saints, and I'd like to talk briefly about these saints, then we'll move into the Acts of the Apostles, and we're still reading through John chapter 10. Which is the chapter of Jesus the Good Shepherd. Okay. Today we actually celebrate two saints, Saint John of Avila And Saint Damian Vister, also known as Saint Damian of Molokai. So a word or two on these great saints and what they can teach us. Saint John of Avila, my friends, was a saint that was made a doctor of the church by Pope Francis just a few years ago. He's a doctor of the church. Saint John of Avila. He lived at the same time as Saint Teresa of Avila and Saint John of the Cross. He was a contemporary also of Saint Ignatius of Loyola and Saint Francis Xavier and Saint Peter Alcantara. Those were men and women. They all lived side by side in Spain. We moved to Italy at the same time. This is the 1500s. You have Saint Charles Borromeo. We have Saint Philip Neri. We have Saint John of God. We have Saint Angel of Avellino, Saint Felix of Cantalicio. At the same time, we have Our Lady of Guadalupe appearing to Saint Juan Diego. So there are many saints in the 1500s. Saint John of Avila was proclaimed to be a doctor of the church. There are three qualities that a doctor of the church has to have. There are only 37 doctors of the church. I'm looking at a book in my studio here. It says 35 doctors of the church, written by 10 publishers. But that was published about 25 years ago. And the Holy Father since has named a woman mystic, a German mystic, as well as this saint, Saint John of Avila. Just that you're aware, and part of our perseverance family is we're learning our faith, we're learning our doctrine, our catechism. There are three qualities that a doctor has to have. Number one, a doctor of the church has to be a man or woman of holiness of life. Of holiness of life. Any saint that's canonized has to be a person that lived a life of holiness. Not perfection, because we're all sinners, but at the end of his life had arrived at this, we call it heroic virtue, living faith, hope, and charity, other virtues to a heroic degree. At the end of their life, at the end of their journey. Second, a doctor of the church. For example, Dominic Savvy is not a doctor of the church. Maria Goretti is not a doctor of the church. Saint Elizabeth Seton is not a doctor of the church. Why? Because a doctor of the church also has to be known for his eminent learning and the writings that he's done. And then thirdly, the church has to approve of this, approve of his writings and his holiness, and to declare him a doctor of the church. Just one characteristic of Saint John of Avila. He was a great preacher and a model for priests. Let's pray to St. John of Avila that we as priests would dedicate ourselves to the preaching of the Word of God as I'm doing right now. That we would preach the Word of God in season and outside of season at all times. The very essence of our teaching would be our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He should be the heart of our teaching. He is the heart of the Bible, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The heart of these Gospels is the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So St. John of Avila, let's ask him to pray for us. Next, we celebrate another saint. His name is Saint Damian of, difficult to pronounce, of Worcester. He was born in Belgium. Belgian, the last name is Worcester. And he was a farm boy, very strong. He entered into the Fathers of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Mary. And he wanted to be a missionary. But he ended up being a missionary and going to an island, a remote island in Hawaii. And this was before Hawaii had become annexed and part of the United States. It only became part of the United States in 1959. So he arrived there in 1873, where we're still not a part of the United States. So he arrives there, and he knew in his heart of hearts that he would most likely die as a leper. Today it's called Hansen's disease. Back then, we're talking about 150 years ago, not too much knowledge. There's not too much knowledge about leprosy. He was imagining that he probably wouldn't live too many years, but he's actually going to be there 15 years. And the work he does there is extraordinary. You might even watch the movie called Molokai, which came out probably about 20 years ago, maybe 20 plus years. And its name is Molokai, because Molokai is the island where Father Damien carried out his work. One of the first things he did is he decided that he would embrace the people. He was warned not to touch a leper, but he would touch them and he would embrace them. He really loved these lepers. And he worked for them day and night. He built schools. He built chapels. He taught the people. He taught the people farming, because he was a farm boy himself. He had to fight very strong against political corruption and immorality. And he wanted to turn this island, which almost seemed to be a place of total despair, into a haven of hope. He would bury the dead. He formed a choir. In other words, he instilled in these people great, great dignity. and purpose in life. He converted many. Not all were Catholics. He converted many. And I'll tell you two or three of his greatest sufferings. Two or three of his greatest sufferings. We're talking about, if you're just tuning in, St. Damien of Molokai, or St. Damien Wister. The first is the following. Possibly his greatest suffering was this, is that he had no way to go to confession because he was the only priest on the island. We all have a conscience and we're all sinners. One of the scenes in the movie which is most touching was the following, that Father Damien couldn't go to confession. And there was a priest on board a ship that was traveling close to Molokai, and often they would not disembark for fear of becoming contaminated by the disease. It's somewhat like the coronavirus, that we don't want to have contact with those who have that because we could easily contract it ourselves. But leprosy was a highly contagious disease that back then didn't have any cure. So there's a scene in the movie Molokai. There's a ship drawn close to the island itself, and Father Damien gets in his rowboat, and he rows close to the ship, and he asks the priest, it may have even been a bishop, he asks him if he can go to confession. So there, in his little boat, and the priest on the top deck, Father Damien yells out his sins. Then the priest is able to give him absolution. And it makes me reflect upon ourselves. How much do we appreciate the sacrament of confession? We in our parish, St. Peter Chanel, we try to be as available as possible so that people can go to confession. Our founder, Venerable Bruno Lanteri, went on to say that the oblate priest should die in the pulpit or in the confessional. Either one or the other. In the pulpit in which he's preaching the Word of God. As we mentioned, making reference to St. John of Avila, the two primary obligations of the priest are to pray and to preach, and then penance. The three P's. So Father Damien recognized the importance of confession for others, but also for himself. He goes on to point out the importance of forming our conscience well. But Father Damien could not live with a conscience that reproached him of his own sinfulness. Another one of the sufferings of Father Damien was that he wanted to have a community. He wanted to be able to work with another priest or two because he was a religious priest. He was a religious priest. And religious priests, male and female, they live in community. They live in community. We suffer this longing for family life. And I think that says something to us that we who live in families, we should try to cultivate our families by placing God in the center. Have God in the center. Last night I was reading a commentary on the mysteries of the Rosary, basically taken from Mary a Great, and I was reading the third glorious mystery, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, and it said that the apostles, as well as the 120 disciples, they were totally united. United in prayer and fasting and their love for Christ. There's total union. I was thinking how disunited and fragmented we are today. So let's start in our own families. This is our perseverance family in which we're united in the love of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Hopefully this will flow over into your own families, in which your love for Christ, your dedication to sacrifice, your union with the Holy Spirit, your depth of prayer will unite all of you, because the family is the domestic church and the family is a basic building block of society. Then also about Father Damien. Father Damien, my friends, was calumniated. In the movie, there's a very moving scene. Father Damien has been working the whole day. He is in his little house. And a relatively young, attractive leper woman comes and tries to seduce him. He says, "No, I'm happy with who I am and where I am." So he rebuffs the temptation of this young, attractive woman that was not, didn't contract too much of the leprosy, a young, attractive woman. He rejected that. Now, even though he was innocent, he was faithful to his vows. The movie shows him going through very humbling, humiliating medical tests. And he gets very angry at that, as you would, as I would. But still they try to calumniate him. And guess who came to his rescue? The famous poet and novelist, Robert Louis Stevenson, came to his defense. In one of his memorialized poems, he says that Father Damien, the intrusive and decisive heroism of Damien, the priest's utter willingness to live and to die among the disfigured and forgotten. So it was this poet and writer, who was not even a Catholic, that defended the innocence of Father Damien. He was canonized in the year 2009. And it's interesting, when Hawaii was annexed and became, I think it was the last state, Hawaii and Alaska were the last two states, 1959, that the statue of Father Damien was placed in the capital to represent Hawaii. Let's pray that the woke and the liberals will not try to tear that down. So at the end of the life of Father Damien, he's preparing some hot tea and the water, he pours the water accidentally on his fingers and he doesn't even feel the hot water. So what happens is the leprosy actually kills the nerve endings. Then it spreads throughout the body. So Father Damien gets up the following day when he's preaching and he says no longer you lepers, but he says we lepers. So it's somewhat of a long process, but Father Damien becomes a leper. And he dies a leper among his leper sons and daughters and spiritual children. What an incredible example of love, of sacrifice, of self-giving we have in the person of Saint Father Damien Zwister, known as Damien of Molokai. One last point on this. How beautiful it is, my friends, to get to know the saints. How beautiful it is to get to know the saints. One last point. Father Damien was a leper. Years ago, when I was starting off my ministry as a priest in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, remember, I think it was my first Sunday homily, I was asking people, have you ever seen a leper? I said, no. You never saw a leper? No. You've never looked in the mirror? Let me ask this question. Have you ever seen a leper? You've never looked in the mirror? There are two forms of leprosy. There is physical leprosy of the body. There's a physical leprosy of the body and the skin. And Father Damien died of that, as did many others on the island of Molokai. But there's another type of leprosy. And that's called the leprosy of the soul. You might even call it cancer of the soul, leprosy of the soul. That's called sin. But good news. Good news, my friend, there's a doctor in the house. And the name of that doctor is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So every time we go and we bring our spiritual leprosy to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with a repentant heart, then Jesus, the divine physician, through the instrumentality and the ministry of the priesthood, we can be healed. And though our sins be as red as scarlet, I will make them as white as the snow. How encouraging it is, my friends, How encouraging it is, my friends, to hear those words. And I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Upon hearing those words, with a repentant and contrite heart, our leprosy is healed. We become as white as the snow. So, my friends, let's move from St. John of Avila to St. Damian of Molokai. Let's move to the Acts of the Apostles. So, as a result of the martyrdom of St. Stephen, the Christians were scattered. They started off there in Jerusalem, then they were scattered to various places, such as Phoenicia and Cyprus, and even as far as Antioch. And they started to just to preach the word of God to the Jews. That's what they thought, that they had to go to the Jews and preach to them. But then there were some Cyprians and Cyrenians who started to preach the word of God to the Greeks. So we see that the Word of God, the Christian faith, is opening up its horizons to go beyond the mere preaching to the Jews. And the hand of the Lord was powerful on the early Christians. And great numbers were adding to the early Christian faith. So the news of the Word of God spreading, especially in Antioch, arrived at Jerusalem, and there was a early follower of Christ. His name was Barnabas, and Barnabas was a missionary. He was sent to Antioch. Let's talk a little bit about Barnabas. He's really a heartwarming and endearing figure that we should get to know. So we're getting to know today three different saints: Saint John of Avila, Saint Damian, and Saint Barnabas. What do we know about Saint Barnabas? Well, St. Barnabas was actually a relative of St. Mark. They're a relative. I think they're cousins, actually. St. Barnabas was a man of economic means. So he hears about the early Christian faith. He had money and possessions. So Barnabas had this field that was his. He actually sold the field, got the money from that field. And then Barnabas placed the money from that field at the feet of the apostles. So we've seen the person of St. Barnabas, a man of wealth, but a man of great generosity and a man of great detachment. His name, Barnabas, means son of consolation or son of encouragement. And that's exactly what we see him doing today in Acts chapter 11. So they call him to go from Jerusalem to Antioch. So he arrives and he's aware of the grace of God working very powerfully in Antioch itself, in Antioch. What does he do? He rejoices. And my friends, that's something that we have to work on. We should always fight against the spirit of jealousy and envy. A person that's jealous or envious is a person that compares himself to others. And because he does not have exactly what others have, he becomes sad and depressed. And often he will speak bad about those others that have certain things that he does not have. And the net result of that is you fall into sadness and depression and sometimes gossip. What we should do is this. St. Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Your success is my success. Your failure is my failure. So it says that he rejoices, and then he goes on to encourage them. That, my friends, we really have to work on. We should work on trying to encourage others. Not to tear down others, but to encourage others, to try to give others encouragement and consolation. Tell you a personal anecdote. On one occasion, it was a Saturday evening. It was a long day. And I was tired, and I was experiencing desolation. That's right, I was experiencing desolation. There's a person that came and just said a few words to me, a few words of encouragement, like Barnabas. That he encouraged the people. This person said a few words of encouragement. Just a few. That actually pulled me out of my desolation and put me in a state of consolation. Just a few words. Not many. And it makes me think, in our lives, how our words could actually cause desolation to others, and how our words can actually bring about consolation in the hearts of others. Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement, son of consolation, we should try to be like him. I said, we should belong to the Barney Club. Wouldn't that be good to form a Barney Club? Belong to the Barney Club. What do I mean by the Barney Club? Well, it means, I would call it the club of encouragement, trying to encourage others. Belonging to the Barney Club. In which we try, maybe at least on a daily basis, to do something to encourage others. Maybe a smile. A kind word, a word of encouragement, a small gift, the opening of a door, small things. This is called social etiquette, which is the condiment of social life. Let's be like Barnabas. The devil wants to discourage us. The Holy Spirit wants to encourage us. But the Holy Spirit wants to use you and use me to be his conduits, his instruments. His conduits are instruments by which his grace flows to others. Then he goes on to point out, gives kind of like a biographical short synopsis or sketch of the qualities of Saint Barnabas. He's a saint. We celebrate his feast day in June. Goes on to say that Barnabas, he encouraged them all to remain faithful to the Lord in firmness of heart. That was basically his encouraging words. To be faithful to the Lord and have firmness of heart, because he was aware that following Christ meant to undergo trials and tribulations and to carry the cross. Jesus himself said, if you want to be my follower, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Then St. Luke in the Acts describes what type of person Barnabas was. And he describes St. Barnabas with three qualities. Qualities I think that we should try to assume and practice in our own lives. Says he was a good man. Hopefully, at the end of our lives, people will be able to say that you were a good man or a good woman. He was a good man. Then next, what a great compliment. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. So we mentioned on almost every page, every chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we're encountering the person of the Holy Spirit, who's known as our interior master, our intimate friend. He's also known as the sweet guest of our souls. Barnabas was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's beg the Holy Spirit to fill our minds, our hearts, our lives, our souls, our words, our actions would be permeated, imbued with the person, the power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and with faith. Faith. Faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to be seeing this now in Barnabas as well as in St. Paul, because Barnabas is going to see so many people who are coming to God in Antioch. So many people open to God that Barnabas thought it would be great if St. Paul would come to be with him, so both of them would work together to preach the Word of God, to bring into the lives of these many people the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And sure enough, Barnabas goes to Tarsus and he tracks down Saul and he brings him to Antioch. So for the whole year, Paul, Saul, and Barnabas were preaching the Word of God and taught huge numbers of people. And it was actually there in Antioch. In the community of Antioch, that's the first place where the followers of Jesus were actually called Christians. We are Christians. All of us are Catholic Christians. So may the psalmist antiphon be ours today. What is the antiphon of the psalm? All you nations, praise the Lord, or Alleluia. All you nations, praise the Lord. So my friends, we've had a wonderful conversation today because we've gotten to know three intimate friends of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and hopefully they're our friends too. There are three saints. Saint John of Avila, a great preacher in the 16th century. Saint Damien of Worcester, also known as Saint Damien of Molokai, who loved Jesus Christ and the disfigured, the poor, the suffering, lepers on the island of Molokai. And finally, we've gotten to know this heartwarming figure of Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement. Let's start a new club, the Barney Club, which all of us, like St. Barnabas, would encourage others on their pathway to heaven. May God bless you. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.